The writer and historian Kai Bird has written a book about coming of age between the Arabs and Israelis. It's called Crossing Mandelbaum Gate, named for the checkpoint that separated Israeli West Jerusalem and Jordanian East Jerusalem when Bird was a child there. His father was an American diplomat, an Arabist, whose career took the family not just to Jerusalem, but to Saudi Arabia and Egypt as well. Kai Bird grew up informed by an Arab view of the world, especially an Arab view of the conflict with Israel. His memoir describes that upbringing, but it's framed by another fact of Kai Bird's life. His wife is Jewish, their son is Jewish, and his in-laws were Holocaust survivors. Their stories are full of the commonly uncommon stuff of those who defied Hitler's death sentence for the Jews: danger, betrayal, deception, escape, luck. Bird tries to make sense of the juncture of Shoah, the unique victimization of the Jews, and Nakba, the catastrophe as Palestinians view the creation of the State of Israel. Kai Bird, welcome.
Thank you.
To the program. And first, the relationship between those two historic events. Arabs often dismiss citations of the Holocaust as something they had nothing to do with. Israelis often dismiss the Nakba as an injury that was very slight compared to what they've suffered. What, if anything, do they have to do with each other?
Well, when I married my lovely wife, Susan, I only gradually realized how important the Shoah, the Holocaust, was to her life as a daughter of two survivors. And I realized that you can't actually understand the Nakba without an appreciation of the Shoah. These are two people who are filled with victimhood, and they don't understand each other's victimhood. So this was a very compelling story to me. I had to write it.
After your marriage into a family of Holocaust survivors, after it introduced you to a different view of this conflict, first, how did your dealings go with, as they were at first, the other side? That is, how, as you expressed your deeply held support of the Palestinian view of it, how did your new in-laws and their friends react?
Well, I only gradually got to know their story. And it's not surprising, but Holocaust survivors often don't tell their own children what happened to them. I came in, I was a young reporter, newly married, and over the years I gradually got the stories out of them. My mother-in-law, at the age of 16, was orphaned. Her father was killed in a concentration camp. She escaped to Italy, where she became a spy.
She was a spy, yeah.
For the Italian underground at the age of 17.
Working actually for a German officer. She was a secretary.
She was given a new identity and told, go into the German army headquarters in Rome and ask for a job as a secretary. And she did this at great personal risk.
Well, when you went back to Palestinian friends and you related to them, this is what I figured out about Jews and Israelis since I grew up and went to school here. What did they say to you?
Well, I have one friend, Rita Jackaman, who now is in Ramallah. You know, she tells me, of course, that the Palestinians should not be blamed for the Holocaust committed by Europeans. But she understands the fact that her neighbors are filled with a dreaded victimhood. She just thinks that they should be neighbors. Mm-hmm. But it's very hard. There are very few reasonable people who are willing to cross the borders, cross Mandelbaum Gate.
Ultimately, while you defend your right to be naive about your hopes for the Middle East, you do foresee a two-state solution, ultimately. You're not of the naive camp that says there should be a single democratic state where Jews and Palestinians all get together and vote and have a simple democracy.
Yeah, you know, it's complicated, this issue, and it's an emotional hot button. But eventually these two people are going to have to live together. What should happen is a two-state solution, probably along the lines of my childhood friend Sari Nusseibeh's and Ayman Ayalon's plan, the Nusseibeh-Ayalon plan that was broached in 2002-2003, in which they said, let's create a Palestinian state along the 67 Green Line borders and share Jerusalem. But alas, we're not anywhere near there.
Yeah. As you know, I mean, the Sari Nusseibeh, your friend from childhood, the head of Al-Quds University in East Jerusalem, and Ayalon, the former head of the Israeli Security Agency, these two wings of their two societies can connect, but neither one commands much support in this country. The religious factions with the millennial convictions are much stronger on either side of the line, and today we hear the Palestinians will have an election, but it'll only be on the West Bank. Phase two at some future date will be in Gaza. Not very encouraging.
No, there's not very encouraging news at all in the short term. However, in my old neighborhood in East Jerusalem in Sheikh Jarrah, every week on every Friday, several hundred, sometimes several thousand of Palestinians and Israelis are nonviolently protesting the building of settlements in East Jerusalem on the grounds that if we go down that road, it prevents the possibility ever of a two-state solution. So I do have hope. I know I've been accused of being naive, and I own up to it, but at a time when the realists have all failed, we should be naive. We should go for a naive solution.
Well, Kai Bird, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
Kai Bird, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, a journalist, and the author now of Crossing Mandelbaum Gate, Coming of Age Between the Arabs and Israelis, 1956 to 1978. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.